This week, Melbourne PE teacher and grassroots football coach Brandon van der Poel lands on the podcast to share the impact of match play cards on his environment. You're going to really enjoy this reflective conversation. This week, I've got a challenge for you to share match play cards with a coach or teacher that definitely needs a deck. And on us, use the code POD10 to save 10% on their order. They'll also access our small-sided games resource for all their sessions. They're going to be such a game changer. Onto the pod.
Braden van der Poel on the podcast. Braden, I actually looked at your order recently and it was 1 year today that you got the animal match play cards. And then it was about 18 months ago that you first got the ultimate bundle, so the match play cards and then reflection match play cards. And it's really cool, one, to be here, but also to grabbed a coffee and shared a coffee when I was last in Melbourne. And now we're on the podcast and you've got your soccer shirt on there, the Australian shirt, and primary teacher, grassroots coach as well. And yeah, great to have you on the podcast.
No, thank you for having me. We've been trying to tee this up for a bit, so it's cool to finally be on and finally be able to have a chat. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Good man. And one of our most prepared guests, because when I sent you some questions, you said you wrote some notes down, which I think is, which is outstanding and says a lot about you. And hopefully we can get through all those notes today. And if I ask the right questions, you're going to give me some good answers, I'm sure.
Hopefully.
But let's start at the beginning. So we're in June 2022. You first got your set of match play cards. I had no idea who you were at the time. They just went to an address in Melbourne. And then we connected a little bit more, and now we're here. But talk to us around, why did you get involved? And, you know, what did you see in them and think, okay, this has got some impact, or this will have some impact in my environment with the kids that I'm working with?
I can't actually remember how I ended up stumbling upon them. It must have been on Twitter at some stage. I can't quite remember it, but I do remember seeing I guess the message being all about engagement and fun and games and stuff, and a lot of what I do is very focused on that, and I like to try and promote that within both my classes, but also within the coaching that I do as well. And so seeing those cards and being able to vary those games and add different challenges and while also teaching those themes of the sports as well has been, fantastic. So I was very curious about them, like the whole idea of gamifying sports and as a way of engaging. And so I looked into it and was pretty intrigued and bought myself a couple of sets and, yeah, been stoked with them ever since. So
awesome. And when they arrived and, you know, you got them out, what did you see? Did you begin to see the games you were going to play? Did you begin to see the kids you thought, okay, that kid always stands at the back or doesn't get involved, or that one's really quiet? Like, what was your first couple of weeks like? And then that time when you brought them out and you added them into your lessons for the first time?
I was a bit overwhelmed, in all honesty, at first, because there's a lot of really good stuff. And so I found that you look at the cards and you think about all these different ways. And I guess I was 1.5 years into my PE teaching. And so looking at them, yeah, I was very overwhelmed in terms of how I can place them in there and what I could do within my sessions, particularly from a teaching perspective. And I guess throughout my experience, I've slowly added them more and more into it. Into what I do. I know that we had a chat earlier this year to try and give me a bit of a better understanding, because I knew that they were such a valuable resource to use, but wasn't entirely sure in the best ways of doing it. But I guess that is also a good thing in a way, because you do have a very open-ended resource where you can go through and find various ways to be able to utilize them, rather than, you know, we're just going to play a game and you just hand them out kind of thing. There are so many different ways, and it's just about trying those ways out and seeing what works with the kids that you have or the players that you're using and going from there. So throughout the past year and a half, I've just been slowly kind of integrating them in various different ways, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. trialing the original match play cards were the first ones I got, but then I started to want something for a few of the more junior years, so that's where I looked into the animal cards as well, and just getting a feel of how I best want to use them, as well as I guess how they are best used.
And talk to me, what's some of those learnings and, you know, a way, like your go-to sort of way to add those into your games and into your lessons?
I guess I have predominantly used like lucky dips. I feel like I'll go through and I'll select before my session. And I guess there's two ways to kind of think about this, and I guess I'll talk about it a bit more later on. But within both the teaching aspect and the coaching aspect, looking at my session intention, what I'm trying to get the kids and the players to take from the session, and then selecting cards that work with that. So for example, with, you know, the football side of things, that I might look at some cards that may kind of, I guess, work with the way that we play. So we might be working on some possession stuff in that kind of phase of the game, and picking some of those cards to really work with that. Whereas other times I might be looking at just pure engagement. I know that particularly when I brought these with my team very early on in the year, when I started with my team this year, I brought a few of those cards that really change the game up. So a lot of those kind of restore the scoreline cards or reverse the score cards, as a matter of trying to add a bit of something, a bit of unpredictability with the game, and selecting players. And as I've used them, I noticed players were pretty keen to do so. So then I started, you know, using the individual stuff and giving certain players, the teams would have to choose an individual and they would pick a card. And yeah, I'm at the moment very open to different ways of using them. But I guess for me, the biggest thing is just that engagement that they do provide, but then also that purposeful development as well, and being able to use them for a purpose, not just as a resource that's there, but because they can be so powerful when used in the correct way.
Yeah, definitely. I love how you get the kids to pick the individual for the players. You know, pick an individual. What player they give it to. I think that's a really, really nice example. And I remember, if I remember correctly, you used them at the grassroots club and you sent me a message around, it was either a parent or one of the kids said something, they've never had this before, they've never had such so many games in a session before, and they reflected and thought it was brilliant and used the cards in that. Do you want to share a little bit around what it's like coaching that environment and coaching the girls that you do at the club, and the impact of the cards, you know, on that grassroots setting as well?
I think in that situation, if I can remember correctly, I trained at that point in time very close to where the parents would all stand. And so the area that I kind of spoke to the girls with at was very close to where the parents were. So they had a lot of feedback. And this was initially when I first started. And we worked a lot with small-sided games, and I think I said to the girls that we really just want to focus on that team-building side of it, but also a lot of touches gives me a good understanding of where I wanted to take the girls, what we needed to develop, what they needed to develop individually, while also, getting to know each other quite well. And I had the cards out there, and I'd bring out the whiteboard, and I had, you know, the session focuses, and then I had four cards, and I flipped them over. And so progressively throughout that particular session, if I remember correctly, after say 5 minutes, I would flip the first one, 10 minutes, I'd flip the second, 15, and then 20. And during this, we've got various games going on, and it would change the game up each individual time. So I think I have one of those scoreline ones where it hurts those, the amount of times that they can touch the ball, how many touches that they can have before having to pass it. And then, a parent said to me, I think it was while one of the games are happening, that at their previous club, because a lot of the girls that I had came from all different clubs. So I think only maybe three or four were at the club that I am coaching at. And then the rest were coming from various different pockets around the area. And that particular parent just said, yeah, just asked about the cards and what they were, how they were used, and I guess my reasoning for using them, not as a trying to grill me kind of way, more of a curiosity, and obviously liked it. Mentioned that, yeah, just really enjoyed the fact that they were just constantly doing. And I'm not too sure whether that's because their previous club maybe wasn't doing as much of that, or whether I was just doing it in a different way, or these cards provided a different way of learning. But there was a lot more, I guess, that came out of it. And yeah, so they had that question that was there. Since then, I've used them a bit. Not as much as I would have liked to, but using them as a way of engagement. The girls were a bit apprehensive at first. I found the older girls were a bit like, oh, what's this? But once they kind of saw what each of them were, because I kept them a surprise initially, they were a bit like, oh no, what's coming out here? But once they got a feel of a lot of the individual cards there, that's when they started, becoming more engaged within it, seeing the benefits themselves of how they change the game. And I always spoke to the girls as well about trying to create that unpredictability as well and provide, I guess, what a real life match situation would do, in the sense that, you know, one minute you've got this goal of trying to keep possession and score a goal from there, but something can change and it varies it up, and you've got to change your thinking and how you approach the game from there. And so that's been really interesting to see that in play.
And I always write down here, I can imagine what those girls were feeling when they, you know, they were given some cards and they were given, you know, a lot of ownership and a lot of responsibility, because tradition would say that's not something that every single coach does. So I think when you give that to them, naturally, sometimes there is an apprehensive sort of feeling with, oh, well, what's the coach doing here? But as you say, it takes a bit of time, but over that time, and I wrote down here, you feel the learning and you can see the learning happening and you can see the thinking, and those players in particular can feel the game and feel the thinking and understand why they're doing it, because ultimately they're making more decisions and better decisions over time. And I always say an environment wants two things. It wants choice and it wants challenge, and the cards will always be successful because you want choice, players want choice, and you want challenge in the environment that you want. If we go back to your teaching setting, talk to me, because I know you've shared this before with me personally, but massive on the games and not your traditional of, okay, we're going to do 2 weeks of this, 4 weeks of that, and a whole term of this. It's very mixed in, very kind of fluid, but games really sit at the center of that. And using cards in school compared to a grassroots setting again is the same, but also slightly different. So what are the differences and what does it look like in your school setting?
I guess this year I've taken a bit of a different approach to how I've taught in the past. So this is my third year as a primary PE teacher. And so for the past couple of years, I've developed my craft in a lot of those things, in bringing in games. And over time, I guess I've seen that students in particular, they're very engaged within those games, that they look forward to playing those games. And so it kind of got me thinking, and there was a few things that happened. I went to a professional development session through ACHPA that kind of talked about a lot of these skills that we learn and how there's no right or wrong way to do it, even though I guess we follow a model that says, well, you should be teaching it in this order. And a lot of things kind of came in place within both my experiences. I know having a conversation with you, that PD at ACHPA, which kind of pointed me all in the one direction. And thinking back to my own primary school days, but also as an adult, as a football player, and what I enjoyed during that, and rocking up to training on Thursdays, knowing it was game day. Like, you got to practice, you do a couple of drills, and then you get to go out there and play a game. And bringing all that together, I thought of, well, how can I create my program so kids are doing that? And so taking that bit of a different approach, and I could probably talk about it a bit, but taking a different approach meant that the way that I changed my planning meant that I tried to create a game in everything. So even though that was a skill development component to what I was doing, it was all based around games rather than just specifically let's work on the throwing, let's work on the kicking, that it was we're going to work on those things, but we're going to work on them within a game between you and a partner or between you and a small group or the whole class, with a final, like, big class game towards the end. So still having that, you know, that sequential lesson where you do go through those skills if you need to, but also coaching or teaching the skill throughout the game rather than just saying at the start while they're sitting down, this is how you throw, this is how you kick, this is how you hit the ball. It's more about let's go in there, you experience it, and if there's anything I need to kind of go through with you guys, I'll come to you individually, and that's where your coaching comes in. So I guess my experience as a coach helps me in terms of giving that feedback on the fly, and then also being able to have less time sitting and more time doing. And so that was really important for me. So throughout the year, I've been trialing, this new way of teaching, and have had a lot of success in just the kids know that they come to PE, they get to play games. And that's a lot of feedback that I've received, particularly past couple of weeks, because our students have done a lot of reflections for their report comments. I went in even this morning, and one of my assistant principal said that the kids in grade 1 and 2 were all mentioning about this one particular game I call Waspital, and she was just checking to see if the spelling was correct, but said that a lot of kids were just talking about how much they enjoyed the games, and this for me was probably the best feedback I could receive, rather than going and asking them, that they've written that in their report comments, and something that I've got absolutely no part of and I probably wouldn't see unless someone has told me. So that was, really nice feedback to see just how impactful the games are. So long story short, heaps of games.
Good on you. You definitely, you're talking my language. I wrote down something here that I think you can tell players, pupils, same thing, sometimes too much information. As a general sort of little bomb that I'm going to put there, and you picked up on it, that, you know, they're going into games not necessarily knowing what the answer is, or going into games knowing exactly how to play it. So they have to experience the game that they're feeling and seeing. But I really believe sometimes, and tradition would say, coaches talk probably too much in general, but players can sometimes have too much information. The more you know, sometimes the less you do. If I tell you exactly all the answers that I'm looking for in the game, that's going to definitely limit, I believe, how players play the game, because they've already then got an idea of what you're looking for or what you're not looking for. And it just removes that creativity, I guess, and that little bit of decision-making, because you're telling them a lot of information and sometimes, you know, too much. I've got a question here for you. How often do you mix up the cards? So let's say you're going to play lots of games with the year 3 and 4. So you're going to use the same cards for a block of 5 weeks, 2 weeks on. What does that look like? You know, there's heaps of cards, but how do you select the right ones? And how often do you mix them up for sessions?
At first, I started by looking at my session plan, as I think I mentioned before, about looking at what I want as the learning intention, and then selecting some cards that are appropriate for that. Sometimes, and I guess, like, as I guess got a bit more experience with them, particularly with the animal cards, used to bring them out depending on the game. So I found that I'd have a set of cards, and I might have, for example, I was working with Invasion Sports in Turn 2, and I've got 3 games going across my netball thirds on our synthetic turf area that we've got. And I'm looking at one game, it's probably more of our advanced students, and I'll look at that and go, okay, this game may need this, this, and this. So I'd look at the cards and think, this would be great for them, this would be great for them. And then I can implement that. I might look at a game with some students that maybe not as engaged within it, and pick some cards that might be able to change their game up. You know, just for example, like, you might have the snake one where they can't move into one particular position, so it gets them to move into those spaces. You might walk into one of the games and there's a team that are hugely in front, for whatever reason, and you bring out a card that switches a scoreline or brings it back even, or you know, completely changes that. So I think, yeah, there's a couple of ways that I've been using it. One being those learning intentions and really trying to promote, I guess, funnel the kids towards a particular thing so they can kind of come to the conclusion. And you spoke just before about, you know, you give too much information is they will, I guess, have a certain level of thinking and think that that's what they need to do. Whereas if you can provide these cards and let them come to their own conclusion, then that's where the best learning is. You're essentially kind of pushing them in the right direction, but they feel as if they've come up with it, they've thought of it, they've experienced it, rather than us just telling them to. And so I find that, yeah, it is, I guess, situational in a way in terms of how I use them. But yeah, like I said, it just depends on, I guess, what my learning intention is, whether we're just going out there to play some of the games. You know, we might have practiced a game for a few weeks, so then that takes it more off the fly kind of thing. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, depends in those few ways. But I'm definitely open to more ideas if anyone's got more.
Yeah, we could. We're going to talk reflection match play cards in a minute because I know they've had a really cool impact. But you sent me a photo the other month of you. They were in your hand and you had the kids selecting out of your hand and picking those challenge cards for the session. And the question is, what do you see in young people? And I guess almost like what, if your advice is to coaches and teachers, what do young people really want? You know, I'm naturally biased, but I've got a few ideas about what they want. But what do you see in that really, you know, primary school age? What do they want in lessons? And also, what do you see and feel in the players and the pupils when you're giving them the challenge cards and those match play cards are in the hands of those young people?
I think the biggest thing that I feel that they want to see and want to experience is just fun. I think it's very easy to forget because of our natural bias of being adults and already having experienced all of this, that we tend to forget that, yeah, we want to get, maybe as a coach, want to get them towards a certain results, or, you know, within schools, you want them to do well at an inter-school sport against another school. But there's a bigger picture. And I think the moment, I guess, I started realizing the bigger picture and seeing that I was part of a production line with players, in a sense that you're part of an experience for them, and being able to provide that experience for them is the best thing. So fun being that first one where they can go, they can enjoy themselves, and build a positive relationship with not only the sport but physical education in general, I think is the first thing, because that will be the thing that brings them back the next time. And from there, I guess, yeah, purposeful learning. A lot of kids just want to go, when they come to PE, they want to learn something that they're going to be able to use. You know, players on a football pitch or in any sport, when you're coaching, I guess, is they come to become better players. And they want an engaging environment where they're able to do that. So I guess, yeah, those match play cards. And I think what I've enjoyed most about them is the fact that it just doesn't teach the skill. So a lot of players, for example, will come into it and go, okay, I want to get better at my shooting or my throw-ins or whatever. And they'll go in with those expectations because that's how they see the game. But they don't see the extra benefits of learning things like teamwork and adaptability and all those mental attributes that can be so important in games. And I feel that the cards really do that. So not only creating that fun within the game, but also teaching different things. So I think for me as a teacher, if I've got, you know, a teacher being a coach and a teacher as well, if I've got a lesson that's enjoyable, and they feel as if they're getting that personal development, that personal learning, then I think that they're generally pretty happy.
For sure. Let's talk reflection match play cards, because I know they've, you know, really kind of impacted some of your teaching and your environment. And look, sometimes I feel they're probably our most underrated deck of match play cards sometimes. You know, everyone naturally goes towards the game stuff, but to me, these reflection cards are so powerful in asking great questions, in getting a powerful response from those young people or even older people as well, but and getting responses that you wouldn't normally hear. So particularly in a teaching setting, what's that reflection look like, and you know, how have you been adding those into your environment?
I try to do as much of a reflection at the end of my sessions as I can, although I know that time can sometimes get away with you, get away from you, and when you're playing a game, sometimes you want to let it happen, and that's usually the first thing that may go. But I found that the reflection cards have been great in two ways. I think the first one being, you know, the feedback, so the ownership of learning, and the way that it engages them. So one particular time, I think earlier this year, we were doing a striking and fielding sport. There was one card, I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but it was an interview someone in your group or about a skill or about a game thing that happened. And I encouraged the kids to find like a small stick or something that they could use as a microphone, and just the engagement for that section went through the roof. And it was one of those things that I think as a teacher, we, I guess, don't realize the impact that feedback can have, as well as the fact that it can be an engaging part of your session. Like, it doesn't need to be, tell me this, ask me, like, I'm going to ask one question, that they can have a discussion amongst each other and really consolidate that learning, which has been fantastic. But also the positive nature of a lot of the cards as well is like, tell me your best strength. What did you do to do really well in that game? That there's not a whole lot of room for negative talk there, which I think is good. And it also provides students at varying different levels to find success, that they can have a conversation and that there might be some that aren't as proficient as others, and that they can have a discussion and find some sort of success within the game, even though they might, you know, not be one of the more advanced students in the class. They're able to find something. I did this really well. And that also helps for future learning, because then they can set themselves goals and can see a bit of progression, not only from what I teach and the direction I'm taking them, but also the direction that they want to take. And a lot of those reflections can do that, which I think is, yeah, which is fantastic. And I think as a teacher, you know, a lot of those questions, effective questioning can be very difficult for some at times. Like, I found it fairly challenging myself in trying to vary those questions up. And these are, yeah, fantastic. I've had kids come pick them out and say, yep, this is going to be our reflection for the day. We're going to spend 5 minutes, have a chat, maybe have a chat with somebody else. And really reflect on what we've been doing and the learning that has taken place throughout the session.
I love it. I've got three top tips I wrote down here for reflection match play cards. Mix who you give the card to, so you're not always giving it to the same person. You might give it to the quiet kid and then ask them to respond as well. So mix up who you give it to. The powerful thing is to ask more questions, more than one question at a time. So let's say, and you're a big fan of this, you might have three games set up. So you might have a card per field or even a card per team. So you're not just asking one question on the card. Actually, you can have multiple groups asking different questions, but actually those questions all relate to maybe a similar sort of topic or focus that you've got, maybe communication, adaptability, mateship, whatever that looks like. And the final one I got here, and I take this from Paul Barry, from when I first met him at Arsenal, and he was using the cards at the time, and he said, plan reflection into your session. You know, so not always having reflection at the end of a session when the kids are really ready to go. But if you planned an intervention, a team challenge or a player challenge, you would put that in your session plan. So really think about when you would add and when you would do reflection. So maybe it's after the first 20 minutes of the session to engage with what the next 40 minutes is going to look like. But plan that reflection and plan those questions that you're going to ask into your session as you go. What's some cool responses or things you've seen from the kids, and how do you said you kind of give them to the kids and you let them pick? Do you let them run away, have a quick discussion, then come back? What does that look like in reality for you?
I guess with a few things within team-based stuff, I might hand out a card that I have a handful in my hands and they'll be facing face down. And then a team chooses one player. So they all select a player. And then that person gets the card, they bring it off, they discuss it with their team. I've done it secretive, I've done it where they share it, and that's been quite effective. But generally, I think they all want to hear what it is. I've used the animal cards in a summer coaching program that I've done recently. I've had a very energetic group of girls within there, and I thought, well, let's try and, you know, take this approach of the game stuff to really engage in and bring some of the animal cards in. And as soon as they saw the animals, they were instantly hooked. And then once they heard challenges, I said, look, read this out. And because they haven't experienced it before, they there's just that general sense of excitement about what the card could be and how it could change the game. So I think that on that particular moment, we had the, if they get a certain amount of passes, one of the players is removed for the game for 30 seconds and how that can change things, and that excitement as well as when that moment does happen, that when that player goes off, well, what can we do now? And I guess, like you're saying before, in terms of the reflection, like that's a fantastic time to stop the game and go, okay, well, what would you do in this position? Would you play the same way? So I guess that, yeah, just general excitement, I guess, to what it could be there with the cards and yeah, particularly as they haven't seen them all. I guess that they are continuously new for them. So it's just what way is this going to change what we're doing at the moment?
And that crab animal match play card is a prime example around the passing, that you would add that card in if you want more passing, or you might even add that card in if you want more intercepts, because naturally there's going to be more passing, you know. So that's a prime example of adding a card in to get a certain outcome that you're looking for. I always say to coaches when I do coach development that I should be able to rock up to a session, and when I see a game, I should have an idea of what the session or lesson focus is, because I should see lots of attempts of something that you've been working on in the game, and there should be an incentive in the game that encourages that to happen. So it's a really nice point to almost finish on, is that, you know, that point around picking cards that relate to the focus of a session. You know, you've done a skill element, so you're going to put that in, and then the game's going to ask players questions based on what challenge card you've picked in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Braden, good man. I'm incredibly grateful for your time. And again, full circle, because it was a year ago today that you, or a year ago this month at least, that you got animal match play cards, and then the start of last year, you know, you got the other set. So it's really good to have you on. Grateful for your time, and I love the images, I love the videos I get, and I love how you just keep sharing them. So thanks so much. The kids are lucky to have you, and the parents and staff are also so lucky to have you. So thanks so much, mate.
No, thank you for your time as well. And yeah, thanks for all the good work you do as well. It's fantastic. The kids are loving it.